open up your word to us. Please help me, Lord, to be able to teach it, to get out of the way and not put out opinions, God, but to represent your word correctly. I pray, Lord, that you would energize me and help me, God, to have the words to communicate your word as it deserves to be communicated. In everything, God, I pray that we honor you by heeding your word. And God, that you would open it up to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I've never preached the Father's Day sermon before. I've been preaching for, I think, probably 8 years. I've been your pastor for 5 years, a little over 5 years. Usually when it comes to Father's Day, Mother's Day, I'm all about preaching a Mother's Day sermon because I have a mother who I love very much, who has sacrificed so much for me. Father's Day, I always kind of thought it was a little bit self-serving. Well, maybe I'm growing more selfish in my old age, but I'm going to preach you a Father's Day sermon today. I thought to myself, it's about time I do. For our approach to this subject, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, the whole book, just different passages in it. I'm going to preach a topical message for you today. I don't do that very often. Usually I'm a verse-by-verse, line-by-line, precept-upon-precept type person. But in today's case, I'm going to make an exception. I'm only going to cover 3 points today because there's hundreds of points I could make about being a good father or honoring our fathers throughout Scripture. But there are 3 prevalent points, I believe. And if I was to cover all of them, we just don't have enough time. We would be here all day. That would be great Father's Day present for me, but not so great for some of the other fathers here. So we're going to cover 3 that I believe are sufficient for the spirit of the day, which is what? To honor our fathers. To honor our fathers. I'll confess to you that I really struggle when it comes to this command to honor my father because of my background and because of who my father is. I didn't grow up in a good, solid, functional home. I grew up in an abusive home. My father was a horrible father. I'm not trying to belittle him or anything else. I'm just speaking the truth. Often he would beat my mom in front of us. We would see just all kinds of abuse. He would beat us when he felt like it. When he'd get frustrated, he handled it with anger. He was addicted to drugs. When we were 4 years old, we left my dad. We ran. We were literally scared for our lives. At one point, we went to stay in an abuse shelter, and while in transport, my dad tried to run the person off the road. That's my memory, my recollection of it. To finally get away, my mother had to pull some covert stuff, and she had to, you know, basically trick my dad, took us to the movies, had some people come and get us from the movies, and take us secretly. When she took my dad home, put him down to bed, and then she snuck out, and we ran. We literally ran. That's where I come from, guys. And that's what we had to do because my mom was afraid for her life. And we were taken by officials, government officials, down to Texas. We lived in New Mexico at the time, and we stayed there in a battered woman's shelter for a while, and then my mom got on her feet, and we ended up going and staying with her at this place in Irving, and there was another man there in her life for a very short period of time, but he also became abusive, and my mom, in her wisdom, decided that, we went to go stay somewhere else while she got out of the situation and moved, and she kind of gave up on men because of her choices, because of us kids, and so I appreciate my mom for that, making that good decision. To stay away from those situations. But I'll just tell you, I grew up in fear because of the men in my life. And I rebelled. I rebelled because of it. And, my dad, for all of his faults, when I was 18, I sought him out. I wanted to see him again and just see what kind of person he was. I was just informed that I was living ungodly. I was having my second son by this time, and I didn't even know who my dad was. So I sought him out, and I went to go see my dad. And got to know him and just the kind of person he was. And he, you know, said he was saved and everything. And that's what he claims today. And that's between him and the Lord. I don't know. But I don't want to berate him or put him down from this pulpit. But I will just say I do not have a strong relationship with my dad at all. I talked to him once on the phone in the last 10 years. Not because of me, but because of his personal choices. And the only time I talked to him was when his wife had made arrangements to come up, and he called me up to tell me he wasn't coming. And so I struggle with this thing about honoring my dad. That's where I come from. It's hard to honor someone like that. But I'm going to honor him this way. I'm not going to tell you all the reasons why I don't honor him. I'll just leave it at that. And I do honor the men figures in my life. The men figures in my life. But because of who my dad was with my kids, I was determined that I was going to be a good father. I was going to be the best father. But there was a problem. I didn't know how to be a father. Because I didn't have anybody there to teach me. I thank God for my grandpa. I thank God for my uncle Niels. Two men in my life who for very brief times had an impact on me and helped me to understand the least little bit about being a father. But other than that, I did not know how to be a father. And so I made some epic mistakes early on in my children's life as far as being a dad. But through the Lord and through the study of His Word and through my salvation and God's growth in me, I learned over the years to be a better father. And I did not have a good father. My kids are so lucky they have an amazing father. Amazing. I'm just kidding. I make my mistakes, but I strive to be a good father because I know how important it is to be a good father. And I know that's what God has called us to be. Amen? To be a good father. And so, in spite of my lack of example, in spite of my frustration with my own father, I strive to be a much better dad today than I was when I started out. And after all these years, even now that my kids are almost fully grown, I'm still learning all the time how to be a better father, how to be a better father. And how to love my kids more and how to instruct them correctly and what's the best approach, because it's not the same for every kid. It's different. And the same thing that worked on you isn't going to work on your kids, and the same thing that works on this kid isn't going to work on that kid. And so we always, dads, we're students with our own kids on how to be better dads. But as I said, I didn't have a model father growing up. But it could have been a lot worse. I was just reading this morning. I saw an article as I opened up my computer, got online to look up something. I saw an article there about a man who sold his daughter because he was in financial trouble and was going to lose his farm. He sold his daughter to a pedophile. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine a dad like that would do that. But they're out there. Dads that would sell their own kids. Dads that molest their kids. Dads that beat their kids. Although I've been tempted a few times. Dads that mentally berate their kids constantly and tell them they're worthless and reduce them to less than a man. Dads that inflict hurt and damage, and don't love their kids, but hate their kids and despise their kids. There's dads like that. And we don't all come from dysfunctional families. I know some of you, though your dads were perfect, come from good families with dads that loved you. And all I want to tell you is be thankful that you had a dad like that. Appreciate that. And if you didn't have a good dad, but you had a godly figure in your life that was like dad to you, be thankful for that person, your grandpa, whoever it is in your life that gave you any kind of example of what a dad should be. Be thankful for those people. be grateful because you have what so many children dream of. Because that kind of father is a gift from God. I remember, and this isn't all going to be just me talking about my history, just most of it. But I'll tell you, I remember one time when I was 18 and I did go see my dad. And I saw this experience, this thing. This kid came in, my dad's friend was there, and this kid came in, and he comes up behind his dad, and he gives his dad a big hug from behind him. And his dad just sitting there, you know, you could just see kind of rocking back and forth like this, like, you know, his son's kind of picking on him, you know, and he just kind of like, okay, you know, and I remember just this sense of jealousy that was there. I wish I had a relationship like that with my dad. I wish I did. I would appreciate it so much. And I hope those of you who have a relationship like that with your dad, I hope you appreciate it. Because it's so special. That's what a dad is supposed to be. A dad that loves his kids, instructs his kids, disciplines his kids, and rejoices when his kids do well. And that's what our message is going to be about today. If you're one of the lucky ones that actually had a father who loved you, then be grateful. Be grateful. Be grateful because you have what so many kids dream of. Now that being said, I want to point out that every one of us is called by God to honor our fathers every day of the year and not just this one day of the year. Every day. Whether or not your father was a model father, you are still called to honor him. In some capacity, as much as you are able, and whatever you lack, you pray to God that he will help you to honor him despite his faults. And that's what our message is going to be about. Now, like I said, there's three precepts, three things that I want to cover that I believe are prominent themes in the book of Proverbs as far as what a good father is and how a good son or daughter responds in order to honor their fathers. The first one I want to cover, a good father, a godly father, teaches their children. A godly father teaches their children. A good father teaches his children about respect, about self-respect, and about respect for others. A good father teaches them about good work ethic. Things like showing up to work even when you don't want to. Even when you're just tired and burn out, you still show up for work because that's the responsible thing to do. A good father will teach their children these things. A good father teaches their children about moral issues and moral compromise. A good father teaches them about how to respect women and to look at women as human beings to be respected and not as objects. One of the things I want to share with you about that, we're going to get the passages here. Don't think I'm going to preach without passages. You guys know me better than that. But I'll share this with you. At my house, whenever a Victoria's Secret commercial comes on or something like that that's revealing that really doesn't belong on my TV, but it's a commercial, it's something that it kind of pops up, I've always, since I was little, or not little, but since my kids were little, I've always looked at Annie and not at the TV. I've looked at Annie and let her tell me when it was okay to look at the TV again. Well, I'll tell you what, it can be a little awkward, but try this. One day, I'm sitting there with my boys, they're in the room too at the same time, and a Victoria's Secret commercial comes on, and I look over at Annie, and she just starts laughing because my two boys also look over at her. Where did they learn that? From Dad. A good father teaches their kids about moral things, teaches their kids how to be godly men. A good father teaches them about manners. He teaches them about God. He teaches them how to be men if they're his sons, and he teaches them what kind of men to look for if they're his daughters. A good father teaches his children. And here it is. A good father never stops teaching his children. It doesn't matter how old they get. The teaching doesn't stop just because a child turns 18 and poof, magically they got all the wisdom in the world. A good father continues to teach his children until they go home to be with the Lord. A good father is a good steward of his children throughout their lives. That doesn't mean we interfere. We don't get into all the nooks and crannies and everything else. But we never stop teaching. We never stop imparting our wisdom to the next generation. Now, there's a prevalent spirit in the world that induces the notion that once we're grown, we don't have any need to learn from our parents anymore because times are changing. Times are different. And the old ways are no longer relevant. And the world we live in isn't the same as the world our parents grew up in. And so, you know, we just don't have anything to learn from our parents anymore. We already know it all at age 15. And we're just waiting to turn 18. And then we're just gonna get going. And I get so sick of these commercials. There's this one out there for E-Trade or whatever it is. And it's talking, you know, it's the dad talking to the son, trying to impart some wisdom on his son about saving and everything else. And the son has this attitude like, you know, times are changing, Dad. You just need to get right, you know. And it just drives me nuts. I'm just thinking how disrespectful that is to his father. And that's the way it is in our world today. I just want to point out what the Bible says about the matter of thinking you're wiser than your dad. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 15. Chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 5. And we're going to see what the Bible says. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. A fool despises his father's instruction. A fool despises his father's instruction. The belief that you will someday reach an age when you no longer need to heed to the counsel of your father is a demonically inspired sentiment of an absolute fool. You may not rely on it as much as you grow. And hopefully if he's doing his job, he's teaching you, and you don't have to depend on him for every move you make. But when your father gives you instruction or teaches you things, and you say, old man doesn't know what he's talking about, you're a fool. Those years of wisdom are good to listen to. There's a nugget in his counsel somewhere. And as long as the counsel is not in conflict with God and God's precepts, because let's face it, not all of our fathers are Christians, not all of them are godly men, but that doesn't mean that they don't have some wisdom they can impart to us. Listen, here's the point. The one who honors their father will listen to his instruction and respect his wisdom no matter how old we get. Proverbs 1:8 says this, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Don't be the one who has to learn from your own mistakes all the time. There's somebody right there who's already made the mistakes and learned from them, and he can instruct you and impart the wisdom to you. Proverbs 13:1 says this, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." And Proverbs 19:13, the first part of it says, "A foolish son is the ruin of his father." A good father corrects his children. A good father corrects his children, disciplines them, rebukes them. A good father teaches his children. But when his children don't listen, a good father disciplines them. Children don't like the aspect of being disciplined. They don't like that part of dad. But they will certainly appreciate it later on in life. A good father corrects his children. If he didn't correct his children, he would not be a good father and he would not love his children. You may grow up and you may think that you're an adult now and that you don't need correcting anymore. But that's a foolish sentiment as well. At what point are you too old for correction? At what point are you too old for discipline? Well, let me ask you this. At what point are you so old and so wise that God doesn't have to discipline you? If our fathers are an extension or a type of God in our lives, as the Scripture teaches us, and I hope you understand that wisdom, that's not saying our fathers are God, because they're not. But we never outgrow the discipline from our fathers or correction from our fathers. Now it changes, right? It's not the same. It's different. I mean, I'm not still sticking my 23-year-old in the corner and spanking his butt and all that stuff. But I still correct him because I still love him. You know, it comes in a way of a gentle rebuke or a reminder. Sometimes it's not so gentle. Sometimes it's somewhat sharp. But I still correct him because I still love him. And good fathers do that. Don't you let anyone tell you you're too old to receive rebuke from your father. A good father loves to beat his kids. A good father who loves his kids will correct them. And what we need to know in respect about our father's correction is that correction is what a godly father who loves his children will do in response to sin in his children. In response to disobedience, he will spank them and correct them so that they don't continue to perpetuate that behavior. Proverbs 3:12 is our reference for this. It says, "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects." For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Now there's a lot you can be implied by that verse. God spanks the one he loves, just as a father spanks the one in whom he delights. If a father loves his kid, he'll spank him or her. Maybe not necessarily physically, but in a capacity, he will correct them. Proverbs 13:24 says this, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Promptly. And Proverbs 29, verse 15 says this, "The rod and rebuke gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Don't you ever let anyone tell you that spanking your child is mean. It's not mean. To not spank your child is mean. Don't let anybody tell you that letting your child suffer the consequences of their own stupid decisions is mean. It's not mean. It's love. It's tough love. It's hard for the parent to do, no doubt. It takes courage and strength for the parent to do, but it's what you have to do if your child is ever going to grow. If it's done correctly, it's the most loving thing you can ever do for them. And a good father corrects his children. One time I went to get an oil change with my wife, and we're in there. Anybody ever have an experience like this? We're in there getting an oil change. Everybody there is quiet. Lady comes in with her kids. She's got like five of them. And there's the youngest one there is just a holy terror. Running around, getting into everything, screaming, making all kinds of noise, crying up a storm the whole time. And Annie and I are like, what in the world? Is this mom going to do anything? Is this person going to, they're going to do anything with their kid? And Annie's like, I almost grabbed that kid and spanked her myself. I'm glad she didn't, because we would have been in some big trouble there. What kind of kid is that kid going to grow up to be? What is she going to turn out to be? What are the kids today turning out to be? They're disrespectful. They're self-centered. They think they're owed everything. That is the movement of this generation, full of sin. Not everybody's like that. But that's the way it's headed. Why? Because parents don't love their kids enough to spank them. A good father will correct his children so that they don't turn out like that. A good father corrects his sons and daughters, and here's the kicker, good sons and daughters respond to the correction. Respond to the correction. You want to honor your mom and your dad? You want to honor your father when he corrects you, when he has the courage and the strength to correct you? Don't fight him on it. Respond. Proverbs 12:1. This is my favorite verse in the whole Bible. He who loves instruction... Let's turn over there. This is worth memorizing. I've got it memorized, by the way. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Right there in the Bible. Before I share this illustration, I want you to know I got my son's permission. He actually gave me permission to share this. The other day, my sons were sitting in the kitchen visiting, and I walked in, and it looked like a tornado hit it. Milk on the counter, cookies, stuff, whatever, just all kinds of stuff on the counter and everything else, and the garbage was overflowing. And I looked at my son, Gabriel, and I said, Gabriel, clean this mess up. I was pretty sharp with him, no doubt. I said, clean this mess up. And he started doing this whining thing. How many of you have a teenager? Started doing this whining. Ah, I didn't know what to do. I can't stand whining. I just can't stand it at all. And so I just looked at him and I said, Gabriel, go to the corner. He's 15. I'm like, go to the corner, right? Go stand in the corner. And he looks at me just startled, and he goes, what? No. Kind of gave me a nervous chuckle. I said, he's looking at me like, did he really mean that, I looked at him, and I said, well, listen, if you're going to act like you're six, then I'm going to treat you like you're six. He got up and he picked up the mess. But Here's the thing. My sons don't like correction. None of us do. But they get it anyway. But here's the point I made with that. The type of correction changes as a child grows. I don't spank my kids anymore. I don't send them to the corner anymore. But the expectation is that the type of behavior also changes. Right? So I don't have to spank my kid. I don't have to send him to the corner anymore. But the idea is he's not supposed to whine like a little kid anymore or fight back anymore. And when your parents correct you, you're 45 years old, or what? I'm 39. I'm almost 40 this year. And mom comes up, or my dad's not in my life, or whatever. But you know, she comes up and she corrects me on something that I'm doing wrong, and I react like a little kid. Then I'm not honoring her. But sometimes she's got some pretty wise things to say, and sometimes she points out some things that I'm doing wrong. And sometimes dads point out some things in our situation that they recognize we're doing wrong, and we have a choice. We can either act like five-year-old little kids and pout and say, he can't tell me what to do, or we can man up, honor our father, and give him the respect that he deserves, and respond to that correction like a grown person is expected to respond. We don't like getting corrected. Nobody does. But when our fathers love us enough to do it, we need to suck it up and respond to that correction in a way that honors them and that demonstrates the dignity they cared enough to teach us. Finally, a good father, listen, rejoices in his children's wisdom. A good father rejoices in his children's wisdom. Proverbs 10:1 says this: a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. A wise son makes a glad father. Proverbs 23, verse 24 through 25 says this: the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Isn't that so true? My 20-year-old son, Tyler, does not always make the best decisions. Sometimes he frustrates me. Sometimes he doesn't live up to my expectations. Sometimes that has more to say about me than it does about him. But sometimes he really makes me proud. I remember when he was in junior high and there was a kid and he was playing pool and he beat a kid at pool and the kid responded by taking a pool cue and smashing it over his arm, and Tyler could have just pulverized him. In fact, he reared his arm back like he was going to, and he stopped himself, and he went and he got a teacher and told the teacher instead, and he came home and he told me this story, and I was so proud of him. I was like, wow, some of this is sinking in. Here recently, he's had two jobs. He worked at Herb Chevron there, and his boss could not say enough good stuff about him, and that made me so proud of him. I was like, wow, and the people that was going in there coming to me and saying, oh, well, your son's so happy. Wayne was telling me about that. Mr. Buchanan was telling me some about that, about how cheerful Tyler was and how good of a worker he was, and I was so proud. I was just like, good for him. He's good. He's learned it. That's good. He's working for Duncan and Bush right now, and they're coming up to me and telling me what a good worker my son is. And it's coming to me from other people. They're telling other people how much they like him. And those people are coming to me and telling me how much they like him and how good he's doing. And I'm so proud of him. I'm just like, wow, good for him. If I could only get him to do that at home with his chores. And it's like, where does he learn this stuff? Because I'm telling you guys, honestly, I'm not picking on him, but getting him to do chores at home was always way more work for me than it was for him. I mean, I struggled so hard to get him to mow the lawn, and he would just, you know, no weed eating or nothing. I wasn't specific enough, you know. Or he'd just mow the front. I didn't, you know. Did you mow the lawn like I told you to? Yeah. Come out 2 days later, the lawn's, you know, a foot and a half tall in the backyard. I say, I thought I asked you if you mowed the lawn. He says, well, I mowed the front. But then he goes to work for somebody else, and he shows this integrity, and he shows this structure and everything else. And where did that come from? It came from me. Fighting with him constantly, whatever. Training up your son in the way of the Lord, and you know, in their old age, they won't depart from it. That mentality, you know, it just took all that work and everything else. But I loved him enough to do it, and it stuck. It stuck. And I'm proud of him. I'm proud of the man that he's starting to be. And that's what it's saying here in the scripture. It's saying, listen, a wise son is the joy of his father. When a child shows wisdom in his decisions and his work ethic and in the moral decisions that he makes, he gives his father rejoices. A good father rejoices in his children's wisdom, and a good son or daughter, listen, strives to be wise in order to honor their father. Because in being wise, we do honor our fathers and our mothers as well. I want to leave you with this closing thought. This is a short one today. You might have had an amazing dad, like my kids did. You might not have had such an amazing dad. But if you're a Christian and you believe in God, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, every one of us, though we may not have an amazing earthly father, we all have an absolutely amazing heavenly father. And listen, he teaches us, doesn't he? He teaches us, he instructs us through his preachers, through his word, through his Holy Spirit. He instructs us, he teaches us, just like every good father does. He corrects us. He disciplines us. As it says in Proverbs chapter 3 and as it repeats in Hebrews chapter 12, God disciplines the ones that he loves. But more importantly, he rejoices when we are wise. He rejoices when we are wise. When we honor him and honor his precepts and walk in wisdom, he rejoices in us, as every good father does. Let's pray.